My duty and pleasure to ask Brother Simon to come and give those necessary words of exhortation.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's nice again to be with you once again. I'm told it's Joshy's first time at presiding. He seems to be doing very well to me. I wonder if you'd come with me to John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You see, do we really appreciate what has been done for us this morning? I mean, we've sung about it, haven't we? In our hymn, in our first hymn, in that last verse. And when I think that God is so not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Do we really appreciate what has been done for us this morning in the bread and wine and all that it represents to each one of us? Well, come with me to verse 12 of John chapter 15, because for me, I always get this the wrong way round. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if, and it's conditional, isn't it? If ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. And it's the next verse that I always get wrong. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And that's what I always get wrong. You see, I always think it was me who chose to follow or chose to accept the truth and to get baptized. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And when you consider of all the teeming millions upon the face of this earth, we have been chosen. We have been provided, haven't we, with that opportunity of being able to be baptized and to follow in the ways of the Lord. And there's many, are there, who are chosen, but we've read this morning, haven't we? Judas. Although we're chosen, we don't always follow as we should do we? Do we really get what's been done for each one of us? And that really is the basis of our exhortation this morning. Not a long exhortation, but one that I want us to think about, to ponder, to consider. You see, the Lord couldn't have done any more, could he? He couldn't have done any more. And when you read of these words, and you read of, well, read of words in the Psalms, you stand in awe, don't you, at what has actually been done for each one of us. Come with me to Luke. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. For it's quite interesting, isn't it? Verse 41. And we know the background well, don't we? Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, or sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And it's the next verse, verse 47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now Jesus, at this time, at the age of 12, well Simeon's not that far from 12. And yet at the age of 12, the knowledge that Jesus had of the scriptures was amazing, wasn't it? Just keep that in mind. Come with me to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. You see, the Lord had got a good knowledge, hasn't he? At an early age of the scriptures. Imagine reading Psalm 22 and knowing and fully realizing that it applies to you. Now, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I haven't got an answer. I find that one of the most difficult verses in the Bible to understand. Why art thou so far from my helping me and from the words of my roaring? And as we work our way through this psalm, imagine reading it for the first time and knowing it applies to you. Verse 6. But I am a worm and a no man. That word worm, it links back to the same the word Tloweth, which links back to the when the worm was crushed, that blood, that dye that came out, that Rahab used on that scarlet thread. It links back to that, doesn't it? But I am a worm and a no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And I suppose to a lesser degree, we too have been in situations, haven't we, to a lot lesser degree, when if ever we was bullied or anything at school, when people would shout out the lip, they would mock us, they would scorn us. They laughed me to scorn. Verse 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb, thou didst make me a hope. When I was upon my mother's breasts, I was cast upon thee from the room. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not thou far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. And we've read, haven't we, this morning in our last reading, how even the disciples, they all deserted him, didn't they, in his time of need. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Imagine reading these words and then understanding that they apply to you. We don't know our end, do we? It's probably as well, isn't it? Verse 16, for the dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and they stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from a sword, my darling from the power of the dog, and save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. Meaningful words, aren't they, brethren and sisters, that we have left on record and that help us to prepare our minds for what has been achieved for us. Just come with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 52. We can see what the Lord went through, the mocking, the scourging, the humiliation, the beating, to the point where he's hardly able to bear his own stake. And you read Isaiah 52 and you read verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, for his form more than the sons of men. Marred more than any man. And I just wonder, is that one of the reasons why Mary didn't recognise her Lord after the resurrection? And thought he was the gardener outside the tomb. He was marred more than any man. Do we really appreciate what the Lord has gone through for each one of us? Well, I can remember when I got baptised. I was given a standard first read booklet, the Constitution. But in the back of the Constitution was the commandments of Christ. And I know Joe, when Joe was baptised, she was given a little red booklet, and it's got the commandments of Christ. And I was reading through these, and I was thinking about what the Lord has done for us. And I was thinking about my service. What have I done for the Lord? Have I managed to keep these commandments, or do I try to keep these commandments? I'll just read just a few of them out for you. And just have a think about them, brethren and sisters. We know that most of them are taken from Matthew chapter 5. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Agree with your adversary quickly submitting even to wrong for the sake of peace. Do we do that, brethren and sisters? How often is it that I, in a business meeting or in a heated discussion, have tried to resolve or bring the conversation to a conclusion by admitting that maybe for the sake of peace I was wrong? How often have I done that? Labour not to be rich, be ready to every good work, to those who ask and relieve the afflicted. Have I done that? Relieve the afflicted. Pray for them that despitefully use you and afflict you. Grudge not, judge not, complain not, and condemn not. Taken from James 5 and verse 9. We know this one, don't we? From James. Confess your faults one to another. When was the last time I confessed my faults one to another? Love the Lord your God with all thy heart. In everything, give thanks to God and recognize him in all your ways. Not just on a Sunday, not just on a Tuesday, not just when it feels like it. In all your ways. Confess Christ freely before men. And we remember Peter, don't we, in our last reading. But this is the one I like. Whatever you do, consider the effect of your action on the honour of God's name among men. Do all to the glory of God. Taken from the 1st of Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 31. Do all to the glory of God. And it's lovely, isn't it, that in our last reading, come with me to Mark, we have exactly that, don't we? Mark chapter 14. We have exactly that. Mary, Martha's sister. We know that Mark, for me, links up with John when we're giving different details about the same event. And yet you look at the commentaries and there's that much discussion about whether these two events are the same as the one in Mark 14 and the one in John 12 verse 3. Are they the same events? For me they are. And yet we'll spend that long, won't we, discussing and talking about that, and we miss the point of what it's all about. Of this wonderful sister, Mary. Let's just have a look at those first 9 verses. After 2 days was a feast of Passover of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. So that's the background, isn't it? That's the background to verses 3 to 9. They was trying to get hold of Jesus, wasn't they? To put him to death. Imagine sitting at a meal knowing that there are people out there wanting to put you to death. Verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And in John's account, she poured it on his feet. So she immersed him completely in this ointment. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of your ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. In John's account, it's 300 pence. But in Mark's account, it's possibly more than 300 pence. And have been given to the poor. and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always." She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And it is, isn't it? We're speaking of it even today, aren't we? Well, did you notice what it said? She hath done all that she could. She hath done all that she could. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Let's just consider the alabaster box. Alabaster was a stone commonly found in Israel. It was a hard stone and it looks very similar to white marble. It's referred to as one of the precious stones used in Solomon's temple. And if we went back to the first of Chronicles 29 verse 2, we can see that. In the Song of Solomon, we can see the beloved man is described as having legs like alabaster columns or pillars of marble. So the container the two women used, well, the women used to carry the perfumed oil, was made of a white marble-like substance. Ointments and oils and perfumes used to be put in vessels made of alabaster, which kept them pure and unspoiled. The boxes were often sealed or made fast with wax to prevent the perfume from escaping. When Mary broke open her alabaster box, the house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. We know that alabaster was a strong enough substance to keep the oil, to keep this perfume completely contained and sealed until the time of its use. Spikenard was an expensive perfume, wasn't it? It's mentioned in the Song of Solomon in verse chapter 1 and verse 12 and chapter 4 verses 13 to 14. It accounts for when Mary was anointing her Lord. And the word spikenard is found in the King James Version, but in other translation, it simply says pure nard was the most expensive perfume you get. It was the very, very best. It had a strong and distinctive aroma. It clung to the skin and to the hair, and it continued to give off its heady perfume. It was also thought to have medical properties. According to Eastman's dictionary, Eastman has this to say, spikenard is the root of an Indian plant, and it's grown in the Himalayan mountains. It is distinguished by having many hairy spikes shooting out from the one root. The ointment prepared from the root was highly valued. This pure nard, it symbolised the very best in ancient cultures. I suppose similar to like the Tiffany diamond or the gold standard does today. This pure nard, it had a unique fragrance, didn't it? And the presence of this aroma was an indication that the very best had been offered. Come with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We've got an example of this spikenard, verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. It was the very, very best that you could be offered, indicating the love that was shown. Those words in the Song of Solomon, they imply, don't they, despite all the other fragrances in the room, only the brides would matter to the groom. The presence of spikenard represented their passion for each other, their desire to have only the best to define their love. When Mary broke her alabaster jar or box of spikenard, and she bathed, didn't she, in John 12, verse 3, she bathed the feet of Jesus with the oil. She too, she only wanted the very best to define her love for him, didn't she? It has been speculated that this jar may have been Mary's dowry or her inheritance. In other words, this jar of spikenard ointment may have been all that she had of any value. She poured it out on him. Her extravagant gift is a picture of a kind offering expected of each of us. Only the best was worthy of her Lord. And she was willing, wasn't she, to give everything. But come with me back to Mark. What do we notice about Mary? Mark chapter 14. You see, in these first 9 verses, we notice one thing about Mary, don't we? It's her actions, isn't it? That was to be a memorial. It was her actions. Because we don't hear her saying of any words, do we? She doesn't and answer back to those who rebuke her for spending all this money, equivalent to a year's wages at the time. Quite a costly expense. She doesn't answer them back, does she? We don't hear a word from Mary. But what's even more interesting is that Mary knew her scriptures, didn't she? She knew that the Lord needed to be anointed before his burial. She'd seen her brother Lazarus raised from the dead. And yet the disciples had seen all these things, hadn't they? And yet not one of them did what Mary did they? No, not so long after this, they go to the upper room, as we read this morning, don't we? They went to the upper room, and when they was in the upper room, they was arguing or discussing amongst themselves who would have the best position in the kingdom of God. And yet here we have the lovely actions of this sister, Mary, and the love that she shows for her Lord. I just wonder, if when the Lord, when he was in the garden at Gethsemane, when he was on that stake, I just wonder if he could smell that pure nard in his hair and on his body, reminding him of the love that Mary had shown to him. And what she had given her all. She had done not just her best, she'd gone one step further, hadn't she? You see, we can do our best on a Sunday, we can do our best on a Tuesday. We can do our best with the time that we allot to serving the Lord. But Mary, she did all that she could. Wouldn't that be lovely if that was a memorial to us? We did all that we could to serve our Lord. A sister who gave her very best. She did all that she could. So, just as we started, we'll conclude this morning. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you.
Brother Simon has helped focus our minds for our central point here this morning. Reading from the 1st of Corinthians chapter 11. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And we'll do like manner through prayer for the bread through Brother Pete, please.
O God in heaven, we bow our heads before thee now and thank thee that thou hast called us and given us knowledge of thee. For in this evil world in which we live, we would be lost if we had nothing to do and had our knowledge of thee. This has given us hope that we can have a life forever in that kingdom which thou wilt establish upon this earth. Help us also to recognize that we are sinful creatures. We earn death. But it's through that ultimate sacrifice that thou gave in that giving thy son that we can have this hope. And now as we remember that sacrifice in this bread, which is a symbol of thy son's body, we pray that thou wilt strengthen us and encourage us on our walk to that kingdom. In Christ's name we come before thee and thank thee for all things. Amen.
After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Brother David, by the way, will you give thanks for the wine, please?
Our gracious, most merciful, long-suffering Heavenly Father, we draw nigh before thee to thank thee once more for the opportunity we have had of being able to remember thy beloved Son in the way appointed. We do indeed thank thee, Father, for that life that was given in complete obedience to thee. And we thank thee that thy beloved Son was willing to give his own life for each and every one of us to be his friends. And we do indeed pray, Father, that we can indeed be his friends and do those things which soever he's commanded us. And yet we know that we are weak and erring creatures. We continually fall short of all that thou hast asked us to do. And Father, we do indeed pray for thy forgiveness when we do. And we do indeed know that there is indeed forgiveness with thee. Thou art willing to forgive all our misdemeanours if we put our faith and all our trust in thee. And so we do indeed pray that we can indeed follow the example that has been shown forth in those words of exhortation this morning, that we do indeed dedicate our lives to thee, even like thy beloved Son. He dedicated all his will to doing thy will. And so we do indeed pray that we can indeed follow in his footsteps. And Father, we have read from thy word that salvation is nigh them that do indeed put their trust in thee. And so we do indeed pray, Father, that we can indeed do likewise. But Father, please send thy son, and please send him soon to establish that wonderful and that glorious kingdom. And so then, as we partake of the wine, it does indeed show us of that life that was given. And we pray, Father, that we can indeed give our lives to thee as thy beloved son did. And that we may indeed hear those words we long to hear when he returns. Be with me in my Father's kingdom, which was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Father, please send thy son, and please send him soon, for this our prayer is all our prayers. We ask in and through his name, and for his sake. Amen.